I'll be reading in Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, and we'll start reading at verse 8 of Romans chapter 13. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Father, we give you praise and honor for this day, the opportunity to stand here, represent Christ before this congregation. Father, we know that we are ambassadors for Christ, standing in Christ's stead, pleading with men to be reconciled to God. Father, we pray for that anointing that makes the difference. Ask you, Lord, to help us to be able to break the bread of life before this congregation, because we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Have your way in every heart this morning, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the urgency of time. In my text, Paul is calling for the Roman Christians to wake up. And he is aware of the fact that we all have a tendency to go to sleep. To go to sleep spiritually. And he is urging these Christians at Rome to wake up and realize the times that they are living in. Obviously, they are not very alert to what is going on and what they need to be doing as Christians. And so Paul is alerting them. Now, I want to say this, that it is so critical that not everybody goes to sleep. That there be somebody awake in order to wake up everybody else to the need of the hour. Paul was that man. Paul was the watchman. Paul was the man crying out to this church, wake up. Realize the time you're in. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And so I want to be one of those awake, don't you? That's calling on those who have a tendency to sleep. Calling on them to wake up. It's time, high time, to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The reason that Paul is making this declaration is because he understands the imminency of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he talks about our salvation being nearer than when we believed, he's talking about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all, that's been almost 2,000 years ago. And if Paul said it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, then how important is it for us here, 2,000 years removed from that day, to be awake, alert, aware of the times that we are living in? I'm telling you, it is an awful time to be sleeping spiritually. And God wants us this morning on this first day of this first Sunday of this new year to understand the importance of being spiritually alert. Paul indicated in my text that when a person is spiritually alert, that there are some things that characterizes those people who are spiritually alert. There are some things that they do not participate in. There are some things that characterize the lives of those people who are spiritually alert. He tells us in my text, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's obvious that those people who are asleep are not prepared for battle. And so Paul is trying to wake them up and tell them, let's get prepared for battle. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. If you are living in darkness, I'll tell you, this is one thing that characterizes people living in darkness. They do not want their deeds brought to the light. They scurry around in the darkness, doing their deeds in the darkness. They do not want their deeds brought to the light. They live a secret life. Often to most people, I'll tell you now, most people will put their best foot forward in public, but it's what you are in the dark that really tells what kind of person you are and whether or not you are really dedicated to God and whether or not you really belong to Him. And so the Bible says we're to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, get ready to do spiritual battle. And it is important for us here this morning to understand that the only way that we can overcome as the people of God is we must put on the whole armor of God. We must put on the armor of light. We must be prepared for the battle. If you're not prepared for the battle, you will soon be a casualty of the battle. And it's important that we have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that we have our loins girt about with truth and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith whereby we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If you're going to be victorious, you must have on the full armor of God. You must be prepared for the battle. This is what characterizes the people who are spiritually awake, spiritually alert. They are prepared for battle. He goes on to say, let us walk honestly as in the day. Our lives as Christians is to be characterized by honest living. You know, we live in a day where it's become commonplace for people to be chronic liars and to make commitments that they have no intentions of keeping. It seems like to me that when people go to the altar these days to get married, they speak their marriage vows with crossed fingers and have no intentions of keeping the vow that they made to be faithful to that companion until death do us part. It seems like that we are unable to make commitments and stick to them when we buy things and charge things and go in debt and have no intentions of paying lawful debts that we make. But the Christian is characterized by an honest way of living. We pay our debts. We don't make debts that we know we are not capable of paying. We are to live honestly and pay our debts. I want to tell you something else. We're to pay our taxes as well. The Bible commands us to pay our taxes as Christians and, you know, to try to rob the government of what we owe to them is dishonest, and God will judge you for that, because the Bible clearly tells us that we're to pay our taxes, give tribute to whom tribute is due, and that is taxes. And so we're to walk honestly as in the day, not like those who live in the night. We're to walk not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We're talking about people that are awake spiritually now. These are people who do not walk in rioting and drunkenness. Their life is characterized by disciplined living. They are people whose conduct brings honor to the Lord. They live a disciplined life. They live an obedient life to Christ. Their life is a blessing rather than a curse to society. And I'll tell you, brother, it seems like to me that more and more we are hearing of people who say they belong to Christ and they're participating in alcoholic beverages and more in our society and claiming the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, brother, drunkenness is a sin. You hearing me now? Drunkenness is a sin. You might say, well, it takes 10 beers to make me drunk. Well, how drunk are you on one? One-tenth drunk? I'll tell you something, brother. God intends for us to stay away from alcohol. So he says, when we are awake and we are alert, we're not to walk in chambering and wantonness. This is sexual impropriety, indecency, and sexual misbehavior. That person who is awake spiritually, that person who is alert spiritually, is going to keep their record clean. They're going to behave themselves toward the opposite gender. You're not going to find a married man who is a Christian man flirting with somebody on the job. You're not going to find a Christian lady misbehaving herself out of sight of her husband. Because when Christ comes into our hearts, hallelujah, he makes us faithful to the vows that we make. And we behave ourselves not by the values of the world. We behave ourselves by the values taught to us in the Word of God. And then we're not to walk in strife and envying, whether that be in our homes or in our churches or on the job. Brother, God intends for us to live in harmony with one another. And we're to strive. I'm telling you, we're to work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This characterizes the people of God. Harmony, peaceful living. You know the reason that people cannot live at peace? Is because they don't have any peace in their heart. But when the Prince of Peace comes into your heart, when you have peace in your own heart, it's easy to live at peace with others when you have peace in your own heart. We're to not walk in strife and envying. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the negative side of being spiritually awake. But there's a positive side to that. Just before this, he tells us, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And he goes on to describe what that entails and what that looks like in the life of a person who loves his neighbor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, really, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself without the grace of God in you. And there are two commandments so closely entwined that you can't keep one without the other. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it's very easy for us to love people. We don't have to have anything to do with them. You know, it's easy for me to love somebody halfway around the world. I know people that love You know, they love people in Africa. They love people in China. No, they don't have to have nothing to do with them. So they send money for missionaries to go there. They talk like how they love those people over there and can't get along with the neighbor next door or can't get along with people in the house of God they worship with. You know, when he talks about loving your neighbor, he's talking about loving the people close by you. Is that right? Somebody on your path of your life. People you have to deal with. People you have to talk to. People you have to work with. People you have to worship with. He's talking about people that's nearby you. Because you don't have no problem with people you don't have to deal with. But it's the people you have to deal with that you have to be at peace with and love them as you love yourself. This characterizes people that are awake. Spiritually awake. It's when we go to sleep spiritually that we lose sight of the obligation to love one another as Christ also loved us. That person who is spiritually asleep can justify their actions. It don't matter how, you know, carnal it may be. They can justify their actions. They can, you know, we have this wonderful, well, let's say this awful capacity to justify ourselves. And so it's important that we wake up and realize the responsibility that we have to our brother, our sister, our neighbor, to love them as we love ourselves. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time. Amen. To awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Y'all listen to me now. I raised 3 children. One of them's here this morning. And when my children were growing up, and, you know, it was school day, time to get up. And you say, children, wake up, get up. 10 minutes later, children, I said, wake up, get up. You got to go to school. 15 minutes later, children, I said, wake up, get up. They didn't want to get up. They didn't want to wake up. They didn't want to go to school. And there's a whole lot of people sitting on church pews that the preachers are crying out Sunday after Sunday, week after week, wake up. You better wake up. You better get alert. Knowing the times, it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, I want to tell you something. You'll wake up if you know you got something important to you. Is that right? You know, if you're a child, you got to go to school. There's no reason to wake up. But if your playmate's coming over, you know, you don't have to go to school. And your playmate's coming over, you got a reason to get up. So Mom and Dad says, hey, wake up. Henry's coming over, praise God, to sleep, to play with you. Oh, yeah, man, out of the bed they come. They're ready to go. Well, you know, you got to have a right perspective on this. You got to have a reason to wake up. And Paul gave them a reason to wake up. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. He said, I want you to wake up, for your salvation is nearer than when you believed. We're getting closer and closer to that final salvation. We're getting closer and closer to the day of the coming of the Lord. We're getting closer and closer to the day that we see our Savior. Oh, hallelujah. We're getting closer and closer to the day when we leave behind all of our troubles. We're getting closer and closer to the day, brother, when all tears will be wiped away, when there'll be no more pain and nor suffering, brother. We're getting closer and closer to that day. And Paul says, wake up. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And he goes on to say, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. Hey, did y'all hear what he said? The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Brother, there's a brand new day about to dawn, the apostle says. This night of sin and suffering, this night of carousing and drunkenness, this night of sexual immorality, this night of strife, this night is about over with, and the day is about to dawn, a brand new day where all of those things will never be anymore, praise God. Now we don't think about it like that, you know. We think, boy, look how bad things are getting. Paul says, look how close we are to things getting better. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. This is the perspective that the apostle gives us. Look how close we are to things getting better. Wake up, praise God. We got a reason to wake up. Wake up spiritually. Go to praying. Go to seeking God. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, we got something to look forward to, children. It's time to wake up. Time to get up. Y'all listening to me, aren't you? Y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, wake up. Get awake spiritually. Understand where we are on God's timetable. Let's get ready to leave here. Stand together all over the building. The Bible tells us, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shame for us to sleep when we should be awake. It's a shame for us to sleep when we are so close to the coming of our Lord and Savior. It is so dangerous for us to be spiritually asleep. It's high time. Y'all hearing me now? It's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. If you're here lost this morning, there's an altar right here. There's an altar right here that Jesus will meet you at this altar. And you can find forgiveness for your sins this morning and wake up. I had a neighbor when I was a young man. We lived in a rural community. Houses, you know, pretty far apart. I remember that morning waking up and looking across the pastures and seeing the smoldering embers of my neighbor's house. She was alone and asleep in that house, and it was burning on top of her. By the grace of God, she woke up just before the house collapsed and escaped out the window and saved her life. Do y'all know that if you're lost, you're living in a burning house? It's time to get out. before it's too late. Y'all, this past week right here in this community, a woman smoking cigarettes set her house on fire. She perished in the fire. She didn't get out. This is my concern this morning for you that are here in this service and don't know Christ, that your house is going to burn down on you and you're not going to get out. It's important for you to understand the times that you're living in and get ready to meet God. Altars are open. Sister Judy's singing. We're going to give a chance here for anybody that's lost. First of all, anybody that's lost to come to this altar. Kneel here before Jesus. Let Jesus save your soul this morning. Anybody feel their need of Christ this morning? Feel their need of waking up and getting ready to meet God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Should Jesus come this morning, would you answer the trumpet call? All right, I want to ask you this. Are you here? You're saved, but you have a tendency to slumber. Instead of praying, watching and praying, this is what Jesus told us to do, watch and pray, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Are you watching and praying? This is what Jesus told us to be doing. Be alert. Be awake. I want us to come and pray this morning. Altars are open. Everyone that will, come and join us for prayer. Let's ask God to help us to be awake, alert, and help others to get awake in these last days.